something that could satisfy. A piece for the hurt I bury deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I needed. You lifted my soul and opened up my eyes. I never knew anything lasts forever till I found you, till I found you. I never dreamed anything could be better till I found you, till I found you.
My name is Pastor Chris. It's so great to be with you here. I'm the pastor of Christian Growth here, and this is a morning, a time, a moment where God meets you just like he promised. And just like we were just singing about, there are so many things we don't know or we forget that God shows up and he reminds us or sometimes teaches us for the first time who he is and what he does. And that's the part of the theme for our sermon today. Our message, our whole moment of worship today is talking about Jesus. When he says, I am, what he means by that, but then also the power God brings when he speaks those words. So I look forward to having God's Spirit unpack all of that for you and me. And those of you gathered online, I just hope that you're all able to hear and to see and to gather with what God is doing in this place. We do encourage you to check in if you haven't already. You can do that pretty simply by texting the word Trinity to 797979. That gets you connected with some of our other announcements, some of the broader picture of what's going on at Trinity, opportunity to give, opportunity to just communicate with us, check in with us, let us know you're here or you're viewing from home, and it allows us to continue the conversation with you during the week. There's also an opportunity for you to submit requests for prayer, to have all God's people lifting up something that you need, or to be praising God for something that he's done in your life. Two announcements for you real quick this morning. First of all, Grief Share is a ministry Pastor Chad. Well, he didn't start it, but he brought the teaching in, and he's hosting groups and equipping leaders to host as well. And that's been meeting. There's a special edition of that coming up called Surviving the Holidays. So if you have lost someone, if someone you know and love has died, whether it's recently or a while ago, and you either know or you're anticipating holidays being a bit difficult this year, know that you are not alone. There are people who have experienced similar loss, also who have lived through this before, can testify to God and his presence in the midst of this time. So we want to invite you, have you come to this on Thursday, November 12th, from 6:30 to 8:30, to be encouraged, to be validated, to know that you are not alone, both that God is with you and that he's putting people into your life to be with you in this moment. So you don't have to endure this alone. Next, one holiday that's coming up is, at the end of the month, is Reformation Day, also known as Halloween. And let's face it, not many people know it's Reformation, but it's Halloween coming up, and usually we host a trunk or treat, and it's awesome and great and good, but we can't right now, which is awful, but we're making the best of it. And Allison Carr, our children's minister, she'll be up here doing a children's message later. She's put a team of people together. They have assembled 500 bags of candy for one bag per household for here at Trinity for you guys to take home and to share with another individual or another family, somebody who needs the encouragement of Jesus, that reminder from him, or maybe somebody you know that needs to know him for the first time, and maybe this bag of candy is just a thing to break the ice. So those will be available beginning next weekend and the following weekend. So encourage you to come by and pick those up anytime starting next weekend. Right now, we get another chance to hear from God and his word. Bree, take us in.
If you guys would stand and sing with us. Looking for Bible verses to go along with the song, Waymaker. We've been doing the song for a while now. And this verse comes up so often when I'm looking for answers and when I'm looking for comfort. If you guys would read along with me, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there." Now, this is after they had been wandering and struggling and in pain for 40 years, so they're so exhausted. "The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he has sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one looking around these days and seeing promises just broken like dry spaghetti noodles everywhere. We're looking in the wrong place. Let's keep looking up to the one who never breaks the promises, who always shows the way. We'll do better. We'll feel better. Let's sing, church.
You are who you are. 'Cause that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Thank you, church. Have a seat. Right now we have Allison Carr coming up, our children's minister, sharing us a little bit more about what God's word says and who he is.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Allison.
Calls me. Nobody really calls me Allison at home. So I would say, hello, my name is Allie. Maybe yours would say, hello, my name is Bob. We also have different names, names that help kind of give us more description, give us more purpose. So for example, when I go home, I don't really get called Allison at home. Rather, I get called Mama by my son, or by my husband, I get called Babe or Honey. No one really uses that name, but those are more identifiers of who I am, part of my identity. Maybe you get called brother or sister, friend, student. All of those help us learn more about you. And also for kids, we also identify based on what we do or what we're good at. So maybe, hello, I am a really good guitar player. I am an athlete. I am an artist. I am a juggler. I don't know, maybe somebody juggles. All of those things help identify, give us identity to who we are, what we're good at. Well, as we think about our identity, how we have all these different names, we always start with two small little words. We say, I am fill in the blank. Well, scripture reveals that Jesus is the great I am. So much so that I am, there are several statements all about Jesus that help us understand, that are reveal his character. We know that Jesus, he says that I am the good shepherd, I am the living water, I am the bread of life, I am the true vine, I am the light of the world, I am the door, and I am the resurrection and the life. Now, a lot of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they didn't understand Jesus' identity. He wasn't just the son of a carpenter. He wasn't just a healer. He wasn't just a teacher. Those I am statements reveal to us that Jesus was 100% totally man and that he was totally God. So Jesus' name tag, all it really needs to say are those two simple words, I am, because he is and provides everything that we need. He's everything that we need. And his character doesn't change. No one changes God. No one changes Jesus. He is who he is. He is loving. He is forgiving. He is holy and he is perfect. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he is the great I am. And when we ask for his forgiveness, when we put our faith, hope, and love in him, he then gives us a new identity. All of these names that I can fill in here, they're important, and they help people who don't know me get to know me a little better. But the name that is the most important, the only identity that truly matters, is that we get to be called children of God. And that's because Jesus is the great I am, and he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. So trust in him, know that your identity is in Jesus, and that he is the one who leads us, who guides us, who protects us, and who provides everything, because he's the great I am. Will you guys pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that you have so many names, but it's in those names that we learn your true identity, that you were fully man and fully God, that it was only through you that we can have everlasting life because of the sacrifice that you made. Help us own our identity. Help us share the love and the grace that you have given to us and the blessing that we have to be called your children. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Again, welcome back. Welcome back to another chance to hear about how God refocuses us, what he's been doing this whole moment of worship, what he's been doing all our lives is continually bringing us, bringing you and I back to each other and back to him. And he reveals things to us through his word. He reveals things to us like his identity. He also reveals things to us like the differences between wants and needs. But before we get too far into that, let's pray. Jesus, you promised that when we gather in your name, however small or however many of us there are, you will meet us when we gather around your word and your name with your gifts. Lord, here we are. And we trust your promises because you are faithful. You never fail. So, Jesus, open our hearts. Touch them with your word, either to plant faith for the first time or to encourage us in the faith and to call us back to the lives you call us to lead. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, wants and needs and identity. How's that all mixed together? Well, let's start with wants. That's, I think, kind of easy and maybe a little fun to start with. What are some wants you have? Maybe think of something you want, one thing you want, and one thing you know you need, and get ready to share that in a minute. I'll give you some time to think about it while I share some of my wants and needs. I want the pandemic to be over. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Yes. I want to not wear a mask ever, ever, ever again. Yes. Now, some of you might be out there, and I completely respect this perspective. Some of you might, maybe one of your wants is that you want everyone to wear a mask all the time because of all the nasty things humans breathe out into the air. So don't think about that because I don't want that to distract you from the message, but... those are some wants. Sometimes I say I'm hungry and I want food, but at 9 o'clock at night after I've had dinner and I say I'm hungry, that is not a time I need food. That is a want, right? That's not a need. But there are some needs I need to be aware of, right? I need to wear a mask. I need to wear a mask to honor the authority God has given to our leaders. Whether I agree with them or not, God has given that authority. Therefore, I must honor their direction. So I need to wear a mask. I need to live in the reality of this moment. I cannot pretend that it's any different than what it actually is. I need to answer my fear. And to do that, I need to identify my fear. Because when there's identity, when you can identify a problem or a fear, you can identify potential possible solutions, right? And so knowing the identity of those things and knowing my own identity will help me move forward. Because identity brings power. And so when we're looking at this reading today, we're going to read from John chapter 8. When we look at these words, we get to see Jesus' identity. And we're going to look at it from three perspectives. The Pharisees and Jesus and then one other one that I'll save towards the end. And real quick, do we have the reading today from John 8? Is that ready to go? Not so much? Yes? No? No? My bad. Okay. So in John chapter 8, verses 53 to 58, we have this word from Jesus where he's talking with the Pharisees, and they are questioning him, saying, "We have Abraham, right? We're the sons of Abraham. This is our father. This is where we get our covenant, where we get our relationship with God. We are legitimate heirs from Abraham. Who are you making yourself out to be?" And Jesus responds by saying, "You talk about God and you say you know him, but actually you're liars." That's a bold move. You don't really hear that unless it's, you know, like an election debate or something, right? But Jesus is not campaigning for office. He knows who he is. Who are the Pharisees, right? Who are these guys? And what are Pharisees to begin with? Well, Pharisees, I will tell you, Pharisees are the ones selected and groomed and grown and put into place by God's people when they went into exile. About 600 years or so before Jesus was born, God's people were in exile. They lost God's promised land, the land God promised to them. He gave it to them. They had it, as Bree read from Joshua. They inherited this land. But because they forgot who God was, because they embraced their sin and their identity in it, they rebelled against God. And so after hundreds and hundreds of years and prophet after prophet after prophet that would go from God to deliver his word to them, and they'd reject him and mistreat them and kill them, God said, "Okay, if this is the identity you want to chase after, okay. But you can't stay in the land then." And so they lost huge. And so in their exile, God still didn't abandon them. He still reached out to them. He still went after them with his word, with his prophets. And so God's people wouldn't forget anymore. They raised up Pharisees. They raised up experts in God's law, meaning God's word, the Mosaic law, the law God gave Moses, so that they wouldn't forget, they wouldn't lose sight, and they wouldn't lose God's promised land again. Because 70 years later, God brought them back. He restored them. But wouldn't you know, after 600 plus years, they remembered the word of God, but they missed the point. And so these Pharisees, they're confronting Jesus. They're afraid to lose what they have. And this is what they reveal about faith. Their faith is in the wrong man. Abraham received God's promise, as did Isaac, as did Jacob. But there was one foretold of someone greater, a servant greater coming. And somewhere along the way, they missed that, or they didn't think, they doubted God would fulfill it. And so on the one hand, you can't really blame them. We struggle with doubt. But the one God had promised was in front of them. And they missed it. So what does Jesus reveal about faith? Jesus is fearless in his identity. Jesus is fearless in his relationships. Jesus is fearless in his grasp of reality. He knows Abraham. Not knew, knows. Present tense. Jesus was born fully human, as Allison shared with us. But he's also fully God, which means he's eternal, which means before he was born, he still existed somehow. And that meant when the word of God came to Abraham, actually before his name changed from Abraham, it was Abram. And so God knew Abraham before he was Abraham. He knew him as Abram. And God's word reveals this to us in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Abram's story begins. Now the Lord, that is Yahweh, said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. This is why faith matters. God does not call us. God does not come to you when we've got it all together. Who did God call in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1? An idol worshiper. Someone that didn't even know him, didn't acknowledge him. That's who God came to. That's hope. That's hopeful. That's a comfort for you and me. So that even when we get wrapped up and get it wrong and pursue our doubts instead of our faith, that doesn't stop God from pursuing us. This is why faith matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction themselves with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we receive comfort to give comfort. Not the kind of comfort we manufacture on our own. No, but the comfort we have received from God. That's what we give out. Something real. Something good. Something that will last. And so that kind of faith directs us to hope. Now, what kind of hope do the Pharisees reveal? The Pharisees hope, and according to John chapter 8, the Pharisees hope to expose Jesus as a false prophet. And by the end of the story, they hope to kill him because they believe he is a blasphemer, somebody who calls themselves God but really isn't. Except they get it wrong. And so Jesus slips away before they can do anything about it. But here's why they do it. Their hope is in their tradition, in the DNA tie to Abraham. That because they're his physical descendants by blood, that's what keeps them in the covenant with God. But they miss the point. That it's not their blood that keeps them in the covenant, but the blood that points to God's sacrifice for them. They're focusing on the wrong man. They're focusing on the wrong blood. And so what does Jesus reveal about hope then? If it's not our traditions or our blood connection, our DNA connection, our to God's people, what is it? Jesus reveals that hope springs from truth. Hope springs from truth. And so he starts poking holes in the Pharisees' faith and their hope because it's all built on something that will not last. And he reveals the only thing that does. Romans 5, verse 5. Paul, who used to be called Saul, when he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he knows God's law better than almost anyone. And yet one encounter with Jesus He's changed forever. He gladly gives up all that for the sake of following and helping others know and love Jesus. He says this, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given because we're so awesome." No. Because we're so obedient. No, that's not right either. The Holy Spirit who's just simply given to us. No qualification. No standard you had to meet. No DNA test to prove you belong. Whether you feel you belong or whether you feel like you are the one who is furthest from God, He is for you. And He gives Himself to you. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's how we're in. God's choice, God's grace for you, bringing you in. And that's love. So hope, faith and hope point us toward love. And what is the love of the Pharisees? Their love for God that is so fervent that they hold onto His law so tightly, they fall into the trap believing they can do it. They miss the point of the story of Israel, the story of Abraham, the story of Moses. They believe that they can fulfill God's law. And they miss the point of mercy. They look at the story, at God's story of Abraham and Moses and all the scriptures they have at the time, and they only see stuff they need to do. All right, here's where we got it wrong, nation. Here's where we're going to get it right. And then God will bless us. No, that's not it. And they hate this distinction so much, they seek to kill Jesus because of it. What does the love of Jesus reveal? Jesus reveals the mercy of God. Before Abraham was, I am. Because Jesus is not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's also the God of Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives and all the stories of literal people that actually existed who all point out the love of God at work in their lives even amidst their own failures to live up to it. Jesus says this in another gospel called Matthew, written by one of his disciples named Matthew or Levi. A collection of his stories in chapter 9 of that gospel of Matthew, verse 13, Jesus says this to the Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not an offering." And there are chapters where God prescribes what to do with offerings in the Old Testament to His people. And now in Jesus, He's saying, "I desire mercy, not suffering." And Jesus is actually quoting another prophet, an Old Testament prophet. Because God's people were getting so wrapped up in the traditions and the moves and their to-do list, they forgot mercy. And it was not their offerings that made God happy, but it was the mercy He had on them to forgive their sins. "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." That's who God is for. You see that in His story throughout Scripture. That's who He's calling. That's who He's using. People who are not, who have nothing to offer Him. That's who he uses. That's who he brings in to be a pivotal part of his plan for salvation. Love rejoices with the truth. Abraham rejoiced to see the day that Jesus would come. And that's what Jesus says to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. He says, Abraham did see that day. He rejoiced to see my day. He did see it and he rejoiced. And the Pharisees are all, you aren't even 50 years old and you know Abraham? And this is where Jesus kills it. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And they could not handle it. Because God is one. Yahweh is one. The Lord is one. And yet, he's revealing himself to the world, the person of Jesus. Jesus reveals that this is the plan of Yahweh. He is the plan. Jesus is what Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the whole nation of Israel needed. This is what Jesus reveals to you. This is that third perspective we bring to the story today. What does this all reveal about your faith, about your hope, about your love? What it reveals about mine is that I'm torn. I'm torn between Jesus the way I want him to be and the way that he actually is. The God that I want and the God sometimes that I hear about and God as he reveals himself. Part of me just wants to get this right. To lock this down, to move on. I've got this whole religion, faith thing down. I know faith, hope, and love. I feel faith, hope, and love. And yet, it is not enough. Because by faith, I believe I'm not enough. Because if I were, there would be no need for Jesus. So Jesus' very presence tells me, no, Troxel, you're not. I am. And so, Pastor Justin's favorite line, we don't know where you're at today, but God does. Where you're feeling, what you're thinking, your struggles, your burdens, your joys, your victories, God knows it. And you may not be enough to hold on to those good moments. You may not be enough to get through the difficult ones. But God comes to you today and says, I am. So like the Pharisees, I get the instruction, but I miss the point. Don't miss this. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. In the Lord's name, Yahweh. Jesus says, I am. My love is supposed to be selfless. I get my wants and my needs turned around. So let's bring our brokenness, our broken relationships, our broken hearts, our broken efforts to the one who gives us what we need. He, Jesus, Yahweh, God, is the one we need. Believe when he says, I am. Amen? Amen. It's in this love of God, this word from God, in the name of God, we have our hope. This hope, this faith, this love from God that we confess. And we use the words of a creed to do that. That word creed actually literally means I believe. It's the first line, the first two words in this statement of faith. If this is your faith, stand and confess it together now. And if this is not your faith, reflect on these words as together God confesses with us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take a moment now. Take your seats again. Rest in that knowledge that God knows you. And because he knows you, he gives you this faith over and over and over again to live in that mercy, to live in that grace, to dwell in it. And because of God's goodness and grace for us, because of all the blessings he showers over us and he makes them new every day, we get an opportunity to respond. Jacob, at the beginning of his story, he was a man who had nothing, and God met him where he was and made promises to him. And just because of God's promises to Jacob, he hadn't seen any of it come to pass yet. He believed and worshiped God by saying, I'm going to give you a portion. Out of all this, the good things you give to me, I will give you a portion back as a way to worship you. And so that's what we do here and now, continuing on in that move of faith and worship of God. And so if you've had an opportunity to do that on your way in today, or you've set something up automatically so that that contribution, that offering comes before God, man, thank you for that. And if you forgot or you're not sure what to do, you can text the word Trinity to the number 797979. You'll get connected with some more worship information, stuff coming up in the God's body here at Trinity, and a way to bring that offering to God. Because it's only out of his goodness for us that we exist and we're here today. And so as we offer these things to God in worship, we call on the name that is above every name, the name that where God worships, that where God teaches us to worship and call on that name. So let's pray. God, you meet us here. You give us all of who we are. Every breath, every gift, every moment. And even those moments plagued by sin and doubt and grief and sorrow, things in this world that seek to block you from our view, to rip you from our hearts, to rip us from your hand, Jesus, your promise stands that nothing can take us away from you. Lord Jesus, may that be true in our midst today. God, we confess all the ways where we doubt and struggle, all the times we have turned from you, all the times we have turned against those you place around us. Jesus, forgive us. Restore us to you and to those we have hurt. As you bring us grace, Lord, help us to forgive. Soften our hearts to forgive those the way you forgive us. Jesus, for those that are hurting in our midst because of sin or disease, something as specific as COVID, when they're feeling alienated, when they're feeling like they're all alone and darkness is closing in, Lord, shine your light. Bring them warmth and presence and truth. Truth that points us to hope, that helps us believe, that gives us the strength to love in the darkest of moments. Lord, help them face anything for which they are scared. And for all those who are treating those suffering from COVID or from something else, God, give them sanity and rest and energy to care for well all who are entrusted to them. God, for our government, for our leaders, for law enforcement and military, first responders. Lord Jesus, give them wisdom beyond their own. Give them compassion and mercy to move forward in a way that serves people, Lord, and not special interests. Not even their own interests, but Lord, to put others ahead of themselves, as we see in you. Lord Jesus, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for hearing our prayers and for teaching us to believe that you are who you say you are, and for teaching us to pray. The words are on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So in this moment, we have this word from God about what he did to reveal his love and his faith in the Father. Jesus, knowing his time was near, gathered with his disciples in an upper room the night he was betrayed, but just before that happened. When he is with them together, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, if you have not received a cup of either juice or wine with bread, please raise your hand and one of our fantastic first impression team people will bring that out and they'll get you equipped with what you need. All right. So in this moment, Jesus meets you here. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Jesus for you. To our family gathered at home, God's word is powerful all on its own. And it's met you right where you are, just as Jesus meets us here. And Jesus has met you here through his body and blood to give you forgiveness, life, and all you need to stay strong in faith until the day he returns. Let's go in his peace. Let's stand and sing.
I know it's so awkward to sing with masks on, guys, but I could hear you. I could hear you in Waymaker. Let's do this one more time.
Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
God's name is powerful, and it meets you here. It goes with you. So go in that name, the name of Yahweh, the Lord. May he bless you and keep you. May he keep his face always before you. And may he fill you with his grace and his peace. Go in that name, a powerful name of Jesus. Amen.